This is The Beautiful Game.
Is this the opener? Yes, it is! That's what they came to see! The name is Messi.
Vinicius Junior is in here, and it's two.
Modric. Now he'll unleash one! Sensational goal!
Mbappe, Griezmann, Pogba! It is France. It will be some can-can on the Champs-Élysées tonight.
So we'll hook that cross in. Pulisic! Oh, lovely hat-trick! What a night!
It's the semi-finals on The Beautiful Game. This is The Beautiful Game, and I'm here to bring you the latest as we approach the semifinals. Four teams left in the 2022 World Cup from Qatar, and no better time to come with exciting news that we're back and thrilled to bring the latest. We will get to some choice comments from Greg Berhalter for our U.S. fans who still found a way to keep himself in the news, kind of confirming what we had suspected right here on this podcast. But first, there's action that took place the quarterfinal round. We had some big teams getting eliminated. So before we move forward, let's take a quick look back with the untimely exits for Ronaldo, Portugal, England, and Brazil. We'll start with Brazil. The favorite and number one team in the world lost to Croatia on penalties. And again, so long draws and group play. Hello, compelling PKs. Brazil first. Loses to Belgium 4 years ago, and now Croatia, with a population of 4 million people, and thanks to one of their smallest residents, Luka Modric. That Croatian midfield is absolutely the best remaining in the tournament. Modric, Perisic, and Kovacic are the best, and clearly never leaving themselves out of the game. When we preview Croatia and Argentina, a rematch of a group play victory for Croatia 3-0 4 years ago, you'll see exactly why they never see themselves out of the game. As great as Croatia was coming back and earning that victory in PKs, it was really the injuries that cost Brazil. Neymar did return, score that late equalizer, but was less than 100%. Richarlison, the best number nine since a certain Ronaldo, was less than 100%. And clearly the loss of Gabriel Jesus on the wing is a huge disappointment. And frankly, this was an outcome of this December World Cup. Arsenal's going to be pissed. Knee surgery now, it would have been an afterthought if we were in the offseason on a regular World Cup cycle. You'd have that 2 to 3 month recovery period and start the new season. But instead, Arsenal's going to have to hit the open transfer market knowing full well they need to replace one of their best players in attack. Just ultimately disappointing for Brazil, who were outplayed but severely short of healthy players. The Three Lions, meanwhile, go down to the reigning champions, and I'm not going to put it all on Harry Kane. Yes, Harry Kane did miss the penalty kick, but I'd like to give some credit, maybe some mind games being played by his Tottenham teammate for the last decade, Hugo Lloris. I'd say the French goalkeeper is what you would call an arsonist who moonlights as a fireman. He could put out any mounting pressure with the fire extinguisher. How strong and capable he was in those penalty kicks. Meanwhile, he could just be a complete liability and just completely torching France's chances of going back-to-back. Meanwhile, Portugal, Ronaldo exits the World Cup. He exits Manchester United in the EPL. So now what? For the man with the distinction of being the only living person, or dead, the only person ever to score 5 goals in 5 different World Cups. As I said, he has his free release from Manchester United after going scorched earth. Hey, Hugo Lloris, on Piers Morgan's program. And a lot of that had to do with the selections being made, him being held out, only starting in Europa League group play games. Now he's getting benched from his own national team. What does it mean now that Ronaldo is on the outs, not just for 2022, but likely not coming back for a 6th World Cup? He's already made a commitment to the Euro Championships in 2 years, but it's one thing if Ronaldo says he'll be there. Is he even going to be picked for the squad? Meanwhile, he was rumored to have signed a 2.5-year deal, right, that would pick up as soon as the World Cup ends, to go to Saudi Arabia for $200 million. He's since denied that claim, the original report coming from Spain's Marca, but really, Ronaldo just failing upwards and being able to take money from the Saudi government is really just a sad microcosm of the wealthy elite in soccer and the different reality that they can live in. I am Ronaldo. I am the best my country has ever seen. I am one of the best players living. I am one of the best players of all time. I am a complete liability. I can go disappear, collect some FU money. And again, we're dealing with the same kind of people that live in a bubble and think it is smart to publicly claim that, yes, North Korea would be a great host city for the World Cup someday. Ronaldo for FIFA president, 2028. I don't know what their election cycle is. Book it. Let's move on and focus on the games ahead beginning Tuesday, Wednesday. We're down to one game a day. This feels just like March Madness for the NCAA tournament. You've got the round of 64. You've got wall-to-wall action, 12 hours of basketball. And 2 weeks later, it's like, my God, there's one game. I've got to wait until the evening for it. And then I got to wait some more. But it's kind of crazy, knowing full well we're approaching matches 61 and 62 out of 64 total matches of the World Cup. So let's start with match number 61, Morocco versus France. The reigning World Cup champions are just not the same Goliath when looking at their opponents, Morocco, clearly the David. Morocco is not just the first African side to reach the semifinals, but they're also the first Arab one from a country with a Muslim majority, which is clearly significant with the Middle East hosting their first ever World Cup here in Qatar. Here's the quote, USA fans, if you want to get behind Morocco. Morocco's manager Walid Regragui takes it from here. Quote, when you watch Rocky Balboa, you want to support him, and we are the Rocky of this World Cup. Chills. I'm getting chills. I'd mention Hugo Lloris for France. This goalkeeper matchup, Lloris and Bono, the reigning Spanish keeper of the year for Sevilla, he just held Spain without scoring a PK. So France really has to take advantage of their chances. Meanwhile, the attack for Morocco, Hakim Ziyech, who plays for Chelsea, and Youssef En-Nesyri, Bono's teammate for Sevilla, both have the most caps for this potent Morocco attack. Again, we're talking about top-tier players playing for elite European championship club teams, and these guys are both still under 26, making the most starts for Morocco. So like we've seen on a U.S. side, you have young players coming into the age when all they've known is international football, representing their country since they were 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. So France countering Morocco. Do they need anyone outside of Kylian Mbappe to score goals? Olivier Giroud has his goal, pun intended. He passed Thierry Henry. The goal has been realized, and he's great to put in a header, maybe stick a foot out there when there's a cross coming in. But this attack only goes where Mbappe and Antoine Griezmann carry it. France is going to be the superior athletic team. I'll get into why they're a heavy favorite, not just because of their depth, not just because of their ability, but the experience. Having just won the World Cup 4 years ago, Morocco obviously never getting to this point. It's all about being in control, which France can do on the football field. Certainly the experience advantage coming in. And while Ronaldo has turned his career upside down, can Lionel Messi complete his career with a World Cup title? Let's get into Argentina and Croatia. In 2014, Messi lost the finals with Argentina, and in 2018, Modric and Croatia lost to France in the finals. We have two veteran-laden, experienced teams. We have two elite number 10s, playmakers, stars in their own right. And yes, Luka Modric is no Lionel Messi, but how he has played in this World Cup, he is on level right now with the Argentine superhero. Argentina are favorites, but are they overwhelming favorites? Not quite. Two huge absences for Argentina. Marcos Acuna and Gonzalo Montiel are both missing this game after picking up too many yellow cards, but could be eligible to return for the final. What's so interesting about Croatia is they're never out of a game, while Argentina has consistently allowed their opponents to stay in games. Croatia went down into Japan and scored 12 minutes later. They were trailing Brazil and scored 11 minutes later. Meanwhile, when talking about Argentina, they allowed the Dutch to score two goals in the final 10 minutes plus the added time of the quarterfinal to force the game into extra time and PKs. Argentina did pull that out. And then Australia, meanwhile, pulled a late own goal back in the round of 16 to make Argentina's 2-1 win a lot closer than it needed to be. So when they're winning, they are susceptible to allowing goals. Now, the difference is Croatia has been more reactive, scoring when they've been down, but that's been a huge advantage for them as well. They have yet to lose in extra time or PKs going back to the last two World Cups. Argentina and France are the big favorites to meet in this final, in part because, above all else, they can afford to make mistakes. They have the talent, they have the depth, and their stars can kind of massage any mistakes that are being made on the field. And listen, it's not a U.S. World Cup podcast without mentioning another example of why Greg Berhalter is in over his head, why there is a glut of talent in this country that not only has fallen short, but I believe is about to lose respect for their manager. Greg Berhalter just decided not to keep his mouth shut, and we're going to see how the chips may fall, but let me read you the following quote, and you tell me if this is the type of leader who players will be lining up to play for, despite whatever vote of confidence he gets, despite whatever flowers he may get, because after missing the World Cup 4 years ago, we got out of group play, we drew with England, we competed with the Netherlands, kind of. Here's Greg Berhalter while giving a talk at the HOW Institute for Society Summit on Moral Leadership this last Tuesday. Quote, an example I can give you of adversity. In this last World Cup, we had a player that was clearly not meeting expectations on and off the field. One of 26 players, so it stood out. As a staff, we sat together for hours deliberating what we were going to do with this player. We were ready to book a plane ticket home. That's how extreme it was. I wonder who we're talking about. Was it potentially the same player who, after a draw with Wales in the first group game stage, you said that this player had required, quote, a last-minute check to make sure he was fit enough for the squad, mentioning a little bit of tightness? Was Gio Reyna injured, or was there really something going on behind the scenes that Greg Berhalter, unable to tell us during the tournament because it had to stay within the team, but now, the moment he's away from his players and back home on our U.S. shores, could not wait to throw Gio Reyna, or whoever this may be, completely under the bus, deciding that he is the type of leader who will stomp his foot in the ground and tell players how it's supposed to be. Well, let me tell you, if that's something in confidence for the team, if Gio Reyna clearly did not want to take part in putting forth effort in practice or in preparation for this World Cup, I get it. I don't want Gio Reyna planning in that situation either. But for you, the moment you get away from your team, less than a week after your team departed Qatar, you're out here calling him out. And let's just wonder, 2 years from now for the CONCACAF Copa America, 4 years from now for the next World Cup when the U.S. hosts, who's going to need who more? Is Greg Berhalter going to be the top coveted coach for this U.S. national team, or are the U.S. going to be desperate for a 24-year-old Gio Reyna with some World Cup experience to be a fixture in their starting 11? There's no telling what will happen 4 years from now. There's certainly no telling what will happen Tuesday and Wednesday to see who is in the World Cup final. But all that being said, regardless how it shakes out, we will be right here. That's it. The Beautiful Game. You can find it wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'm Alex Hardy, and I can't wait Let's go!